This is the Patty Vasquez Show.
Follow me on Twitter at Patty Vasquez, CHI.
On 720 WGN.
Some people see the revolution, but most only see the girl. I can lose my hard-earned freedom if my fear defines my world. I declare my independence from the critics and the stones. I can find my revolution. I can learn to stand alone. And I'll be everything that I want to be. I am confidence and insecurity. I am a voice yet waiting to be heard. I'll shoot the shot bang that you hear around the world.
We are live in the Allstate Skyline Studios. This is the Patty Vasquez Show, and we hope that you are happy, healthy, and safe wherever you are tonight. And as you heard, you can follow me on Twitter at Patty Vasquez, CHI. And don't forget, if you do happen to drift off to sleep, because I know it's about that time for some of you, you can subscribe to my podcast on iTunes. Just search for Patty Vasquez or WGN Radio. You'll find all of us. You can also subscribe at TuneIn and iHeartRadio. We'd love to hear from you. There's a great comments section there. And also, you can find me on Patty V Show on Facebook. So we'd love to hear from you throughout the evening. The phone number is 312-981-7200. As always, this is your conversation. You're also my guest. So I'd love to hear from you. I'm your guest because you're letting me into your homes and your cars and everything. We have in studio with us Dr. Kathy Tynes. She is the assistant professor of medicine at Northwestern and the president of the Illinois State Medical Society. You can follow her on Twitter at Kathy, at K Tynes on Twitter, and visit ISMS.org and find out more about what they do. And also, we want to share some great information about tomorrow. It's Valentine's Day, and it also happens to be National Ferris Wheel Day, and that's why we want to talk to our friends over at Navy Pier. Here joining me on the line is Payal Patel. Hey, how are you doing tonight?
Hey, Patty, I'm doing great. How about you?
I'm doing very well. And of course, that Ferris wheel lights up our sky every single night right behind me. And I'm excited that you guys are celebrating by giving away free rides. What can you tell people about this wonderful event?
Yeah, so in honor of National Ferris Wheel Day and Valentine's Day, we are offering 2,014 free rides on the Centennial Wheel tomorrow to pre-registered guests online. And so you just present your ticket at the Pier Park box office and go for a free spin, hopefully with your Valentine. And there's nothing quite like it because you'll get romantic views all cozied up in one of our gondolas. It's heated and enclosed. And the views from, 200 feet above ground are just stunning of the lake and the skyline.
So in order to get those tickets, they do need to reserve them online. Do they go to the Navy Pier website, or is there an Eventbrite page?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes, there's an Eventbrite page that you can find through NavyPier.org.
Okay, so go to NavyPier.org, and you can get free tickets. And what a great way, because these gondolas are lovely. They've got music in them, and it's a beautiful way to just sort of, cuddle with someone that you love. Or if you want to take your mom or your dad or one of your friends, maybe you're doing a galentine, that's a great way to do it too, don't you think?
Oh, sure thing. I mean, today is Galentine's Day, I know. And so, I mean, you can just extend that to tomorrow and take your girlfriends or, like you said, just someone that you love. I mean, that's what tomorrow is all about, is celebrating love and celebrating Ferris wheels. And so what better way to do that than going for a spin on the iconic Centennial Wheel in Chicago? And if you want to make it extra special, we're offering, folks an opportunity to upgrade their experience to our VIP gondola, which has a glass bottom. You can request a champagne service into your gondola. So, yeah, you can make it truly romantic that way.
I love that. Plus, I see that you are giving away a prize as well, a special date experience.
Yeah, we are giving away an all-expense-paid date to Navy Pier Experiences to one lucky couple who was pre-selected on our social media pages. And so that gift has already been awarded.
Oh, it was.
And they'll get to...
Oh, I missed it.
Yeah, I know, because we want to make sure we gave them enough time to get ready for tomorrow's big day. Yeah, so we've chosen the couple, and they're going to go for a fantastic date throughout the pier at Reva Crab House and Brown Sugar Bakery and get a caricature drawing done and then go for a spin on the wheel. So lots of fun things planned for them.
And you also have, for everybody, you've got some discounts at some of the retailers as well with $5 off some of the purchases.
We do. true. So yeah, our retail partners are offering $5 off a purchase of $25 or more at select retail partners, and then places like Riva Crab House with amazing views of the skyline and of the lake, they're offering specials for Valentine's Day. It's a price fixed menu, and then if you come during lunch hours, you can get a bottle of wine for $2.14, which is crazy, but
what?
Amazing deal. Yeah. So, I mean, plan that date in advance and, you know, you'll definitely get to take advantage of that sweet deal. And then a lot of other places across the pier are having some amazing Valentine's deals, including Bubba Gum Shrimp Co. and some of the other restaurants. There are some Valentine's Day themed drinks. So we're not short of love at the pier.
Not at all. And by the way, Riva is a place that my family, we go there every single year at Christmas time when they have the Winter Wonderfest. We love dinner at Riva's, just from the oysters and the crabs, and everything that they serve there is amazing. But you mentioned the views, and it is really just, it's spectacular.
It really is. Yeah, I feel like it's such a great spot for a date night or just to come out with your friends or family. I mean, the Riva Crab House has been at the pier for such a long time, and they've been known to provide such great service and such great food along with the view. So it's just unbeatable.
Well, I encourage everyone to visit NavyPier.org to register for your tickets, reserve tickets for the Ferris Wheel ride tomorrow, celebrating Valentine's Day and National Ferris Wheel Day. And also, you guys have a great Facebook page. Everyone can obviously find Navy Pier on Facebook. Find out about the upcoming events, including you've got the National Margarita Day is coming up. What?
Yes. We're celebrating National Margarita Day, of course, at Margaritaville on the pier, and then Lalo's and Tiny Tavern. So, yeah, we've got some really great things coming up. And so if you're a margarita fan,
yes.
I mean,
yes,
the pier is definitely a place to visit.
That's wonderful.
And then you go up on the Ferris wheel. Yum.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, you have the first one, and you feel a little chill. You're riding around. This is great. They have the entire calendar of events available on their Facebook page and as well on the NavyPier.org website. I want to thank you so much for joining us. I know it's a little bit late, Pale, tonight, but we appreciate your time.
Thank you for having me.
Well, we adore all the great events that you guys have at Navy Pier, whether it's the fireworks and welcoming the entire city, at 4th of July, but of course, throughout the summer on Wednesdays and Saturdays. It's just so much fun.
Thank you so much. We really appreciate your support always.
Oh, we will talk to you. We might talk to you before Margarita Day.
That would be great. Yes.
Wonderful.
As a matter of fact, you should come on down and have a sampling with us.
I think you can count on that. That's on the 22nd. Yeah, I got some time to, get in shape for that, because I feel like I have to prepare myself for a day like that. Yeah.
Oh, sure.
I'll have my doctor with me, so I should be fine.
Oh, yeah. I can help.
Well, happy Valentine's Day, and we will talk to you again very soon for all the great things happening at Navy Pier.
Happy Valentine's Day. Thank you.
Wonderful, of course. When we come back, let's find out more about what Dr. Kathy Tynes wants you to know, in particular those of you who perhaps need some help securing insulin, which is crucial to so many of our listeners. More after this on 720 WGN. It's the Patty Vasquez Show. We want to hear from you, 312-981-7200. Moment, we're going to talk to Dr. Kathy Tynes about some important health issues. She is the assistant professor of medicine at Northwestern, and she's the president of the Illinois State Medical Society. You can follow her on Twitter at ktynes on Twitter, and visit isms.org. On the line with us, we have a listener that wants. Oh no, Vic, there's an echo on your line. I'm so sorry. I think that we have trouble with landlines. Vic, are you calling on a landline?
Yep.
All right. What do you want to tell us about the Ferris wheel?
Anyway, the Ferris wheel that was at the Fair of 93 eventually ended up on Diversity in Clark in what was called Wrightwood's Grove, and it was there from the 1890s to about 1903 or 4, and then disappeared. But there's some old photographs where you can see it in that particular area around Diversity and Clark.
Well, that is cool. Well, thank you for telling us that. I love that little piece of Chicago history. Have a great night, Vic.
Thank you.
Bye, Chicago
Bye-bye.
Vic. Bye-bye. And Dr. Kathy, that's one of the things. Chicago Vic knows a lot of Chicago history, so when something strikes his fancy, he's on that.
I love it. That's great. I'm a big buff myself, of course.
Me too. Well, it's my degree, so I don't know as much as Chicago Vic does, though.
Oh, wow.
And I definitely don't know all things health-related. And I saw on your list when you emailed me earlier today, one of the taglines you put in there was insulin help, and I realized that I heard lately that the price of insulin has gone up for those who need it the most.
Tell us
a little bit about what's going on.
Oh, sure. It's a big topic of conversation recently. In the past 4 years alone, the cost has doubled. And since 2002, on average, the cost has tripled. And that's, again, on average. Some forms of insulin have gone up by 4 times, even 6 times their previous price. So it's a big problem. It's making insulin unaffordable. And for people who have type 1 diabetes in particular, they cannot live without insulin. This is not, you know, a lifestyle drug. This is life and death medication. And research has shown, recently published in the JAMA Internal Medicine, that 1 in 4 patients with type 1 or type 2 diabetes have skimped on insulin due to the high cost, which, of course, as you can imagine, is very dangerous, and it can lead to complications such as blindness, loss of limbs, kidney failure, even death. So now there's a new resource that's available through the American Diabetes Association, and it's insulinhelp.org. And it provides patients with the phone numbers of patient assistance programs at 3 major insulin manufacturers and a short list of information that they will need before they make that call. So for anyone who's out there who's having trouble paying for insulin, check out insulinhelp.org and make the call to see if you can get some assistance from the manufacturer. You've got nothing to lose.
And that is insulinhelp.org.
Mm-hmm.
What are some of the factors that are contributing to the rise in the cost? Is this from the pharmaceutical company?
This is from the manufacturers. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure what role the pharmacy benefit managers have to play in this. It's probably more complex than you would think, but there certainly does seem to be, it seems to be outstripping inflation, and it's hard to understand how and why they would be raising the prices like this.
And how are insurance companies sort of, offsetting those prices? Are they able to, or are they passing the costs essentially along to patients?
So unfortunately, they're often passing those costs along to their patients. So it can be in the form of a higher copay, or the other thing that I've seen, and you know, I have a lot of patients who are on insulin, and this is a bit of a game of whack-a-mole. They keep trying to shop between brands of insulin that are similar, bioequivalent, and you don't know which one they're covering. And so when January rolls around, patients go to pick up their usual brand of insulin, and they find it's not covered, and it costs $200 or $400 or $600.
Wow.
And then, you know, it's happened to me where I've been in the middle of an office visit, and my patient tells me, you know, today was the day I took my last dose of insulin. I'm out, and I can't afford to pick it up anymore. So I have to call the pharmacist, and the pharmacist just runs through the insurance, all the different brands. I just list them out one by one, and finally we find the one that is covered. So lack of information is part of the problem. And sometimes, you know, the insurance company switches brands or manufacturers, and that's all well and good. But unfortunately, the notification isn't necessarily there, certainly to the patients or to their physicians. It's really frustrating.
Well, it's a shame that, you know, when you turn to your insurance company, obviously you have to ask for referrals and you have to get things approved in order to cover things. But when you've been on insulin, that's part of the care that you have become.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that you've
stable.
Secured.
Yeah.
Right. And it's, you know, it's one of those things, okay, at least this piece is in place. I'm taking care of this. And then for that to change, to not get some sort of a heads up, because, you know, everything is, there should be some sort of cross-reference ability when it comes to the way they disperse information.
Absolutely. And luckily, we talked about this at my last visit, we were able to help pass a law in the state of Illinois that prevents the insurers from switching their formularies within the plan year.
Right.
So once we've got it figured out in January, people should be okay until December.
Okay.
So thankfully that law is in place. But before that, it was really, you know, the wild, wild west as far as which insulin is covered. Am I going to get my medicine this month? It's been frustrating.
And with all the work that you do legislatively, you know, working with folks in Springfield and visiting Washington, D.C., is there anything that can be done when it comes to medications that are as crucial as insulin to perhaps find a way to limit the profit sharing?
Profit, right. So, you know, I think that's part of the national conversation that we're starting to have mm-hmm. around drug pricing, because this isn't, you know, refrigerators or widgets that people are buying and selling. This is life and death medication, and people who need insulin, they don't have a choice. They can't shop around, you know, and when I switch someone from one brand to another, we have to start all over again as far as titrating the dose, which is frustrating. People who are under good control are no longer under control. So, yes, I think, you know, we have to wrap our heads around, you know, are there some industries that should not be allowed to make large profits from the products that they provide for patients?
We'll keep making sure that people have the information throughout the show tonight and upcoming conversations. Again, it's insulinhelp.org. More when we come back on 720 WGN. You're listening to the Patty Vasquez Show. We are live in the Allstate Skyline Studio. Joining me, as you heard earlier, is Dr. Kathy Tynes. She is the Assistant Professor of Medicine at Northwestern and President of the Illinois State Medical Society. You can follow her on Twitter at @ktynes and also visit the website ISMS.org to find out about the work that they do. And I thought that it would be great to have this conversation with you here, Doc, because I know that you guys see a lot of patients at Northwestern Hospital when it comes to the violence that erupts in our city. And something I've talked about many times on this show is how I often feel like, having grown up in Chicago my entire life, that there are people who would just as soon wall off parts of our city and just let people destroy each other and not be a part of it. And I really think that Cabrini Green is the example that many people use. Just leave them there, you know, stack them and rack them and write them off. And joining me in studio is Ben Austin. He is the author of High Risers, Cabrini Green and the Fate of American Public Housing. Thank you so much for joining us tonight.
Hey, thank you.
What is that? What's your background? Where are you from? Chicago?
I'm from Chicago. South Shore and Hyde Park.
Okay, so you could yeah. So we kind yeah. of on the flip side of the city.
Kenwood High School.
Okay, I went to Lane Tech.
All right.
You guys had a swimming pool that I believe is 5 meters shorter.
That's right.
You know why this was important.
This is some competition here, huh?
Well, no, because they were incredible flip turners they had the best flip turns because they had to do more of them.
Okay.
Anyway, that's not on the topic, but our schools were places that we had access to better education than some of the kids we're about to talk about in the families.
Yeah.
Tell us what drew you to writing the story about Cabrini Green.
You know, the last tower was coming down in 2011, and it just felt momentous. It felt like a huge deal. You know, what did it mean for the city? What did it mean for the people who had lived there, up to 20,000 people? Where did they go? But also, you know, what did it mean for the landscape of the city? What did it mean for this notion of Cabrini Green, which was like a real place, but also sort of like a place in our imaginations in the city? I thought of it as like the pinnacle of danger. And, you know, in pop culture, in the news, you know, a part of our history, all of that going away. So sort of wrestling with that.
It has become, had reached and continues to reach mythological proportions, the way people think about it. I was telling you off the air that people would ask me when they came into town, because they were, you know, traveling and I do stand-up comedy, and they would ask me to drive them past Cabrini Green, which if my dad knew that I was doing, he'd be ticked off at me, right? Because that's just the way we think of that area.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you do stand-up comedy. There was this SNL skit, Saturday Night Live skit in the 1980s. Denitra Vance, who was from Chicago, she did a skit of a single teenage single mother, and her character's name was Cabrini Green Harlem Watts Jackson. You know, sort of like this Mount Rushmore of scariest inner city black places.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so like Cabrini had entered that lexicon.
And when this high rise was created, this was originally built on the lands of an Italian slum.
Yep.
What was the intent? Because this became a model all over the country.
Yeah, I mean, originally it was better housing. It totally was. It was better than the slum that existed there. And it was to provide good housing for people that couldn't get it on the private market, which is a problem that is, you know, couldn't be bigger today. And so this was a viable solution. You know, that you wouldn't have the precariousness of landlords. You would actually have a government agency that would look out for you. And essentially it worked for a while. And, you know, especially, say, in the black communities where you were banned from moving elsewhere, you couldn't get a mortgage, the government to be your landlord was suddenly a real boon and, like, actually a kind of step up into the middle class.
Because Chicago has been for a long time, and obviously more so then, so segregated. But now I think in ways that they use those code words. They, you know, in neighborhoods, if you even propose any sort of affordable housing, they say, we don't want Cabrini Green here.
Yeah, not in my backyard. But Cabrini Green is still this term that exists for people. It's like, some idea of danger. And it doesn't, we were talking about this, that it could be anywhere nationally, internationally, people have heard of it. And it's some kind of stand-in for the city. And a stand-in for, like, the scary part of our city, the kind of part that, Trump would refer to as, like, carnage and, living hell kind of stuff.
Well, and that is the thing that strikes me all the time is people, when they hear that there is violence, back before Cabrini Green was taken down, the assumption would be, I'll bet it's near Cabrini Green.
Yeah. Cabrini Green actually turned out to be this total anomaly in the city, in our segregated city, that it's on the near north side. It's actually like we could walk there right now while, most of the public housing and say even like the African-American neighborhoods were on the far south side or the west side. So total... outlier in the city, and in some ways its infamy came from being close to places like the Tribune and WGN, because you could just drive over a few blocks to get your story, and that kind of snowballs, you pay attention to a place like that, but you might ignore Englewood or Chatham or
Gage Park, right?
Yeah, far out places. So
And you mentioned that it worked for a while. What were some of the factors that led to the decline and the safe aspects for the residents there?
Yeah, all kinds of things. I mean, it's many. The city itself became poorer, and there was white flight and loss of jobs, and so that affected poor neighborhoods even more. It was underfunded. It was mismanaged by the city. Residents who had a little bit of money left because they could go somewhere else. The site placement itself was kind of racist. And so, in white neighborhoods where they were going to put public housing, residents rioted and they refused to have integrated public housing there. And so aldermen put public housing only in existing black neighborhoods or neighborhoods that were already turning from white to black. And so it sort of had this effect of solidifying the racial boundaries, like suddenly in these super blocks of concrete and steel. And so it added to our segregation.
And the idea of the high rise, there are some locations that they tried to do like almost shorter buildings, and that led to where you have these sort of courtyards and so sort of almost fortresses in different areas of the city. That, in David Simon's series, The Wire, there are places like that in Chicago here as well.
So I will also say that, people always made a home there. And, a place like Cabrini Green had 15,000 to 20,000 people. And even when it was suffering, it had like 15,000 to 20,000 different stories there.
Right.
And there were people who not only made a home there, but they were like, I love living here. I know everybody. This is my family. It was their neighborhood. And so it doesn't mean that it couldn't be better. It doesn't mean that it wasn't dangerous. It doesn't mean that people didn't suffer trauma. But it was also a place where it was complicated, it's easy to sort of paint it with this brush of like, that image of like Nino Brown, which, of like some sort of fortress. But it was a mix of people always. And I tell the stories of individual residents who had a lot of agency, who sort of, made a life for themselves amidst not ideal conditions.
We're going to address a text from a listener, as well as part of that was why Mayor Jane Byrne tried living there, was to bring, the idea that there are people living here and why we need to invest in making sure that this is a safe place. We're talking to Ben Austin. He is the author of High Risers, Cabrini Green and the Fate of American Public Housing. We have a listener, and I'll let you think about this during the break. They said that if you could go to the library and look up what Cabrini Green looked like when it was first built, it was beautiful, nicer than a lot of apartments that I've lived in. It was the residents that destroyed them. So we'll talk about that when we come back on 720 WGN. Cabrini Green became associated with violence, with what happens when you let people live on the public dime. Welfare queens was a term that people used, of course, for residents in the 80s in particular. And we're talking to the author of High Risers, Cabrini Green and the Fate of American Public Housing. Joining us as well is the president of the Illinois State Medical Society, Dr. Kathy Tynes. She's also assistant professor of medicine at Northwestern. You can follow both of them on Twitter. Dr. Tynes is at K Tynes, and our guest, Ben, is at Ben_AUSTEN.
Correct.
So make sure people know how to spell your name correctly, because it's Austin, not Austin. So you have to make that distinction. Yeah. We have a listener, as I mentioned before the break, because you were talking about how, I mean, I saw on the front, on the cover that David Simon, who created The Wire, had written a little blurb on the front. And you were talking about how, you know, there are people who had 15,000 stories and all these families. And I know, I'm just flipping through, I found a story of a woman named Rose who was living there and how her days were long. And so a listener had texted in that these apartments used to be beautiful, better than anything that this listener had ever lived in. It was the residents that destroyed them. Well, how do you reply to a text like that? And they may not mean anything behind it, but what do you think about that?
Yeah, I mean, I think, it's well documented that there was it was underfunded, that it was mismanaged. That there were also things like, a terrible sort of ratio of adults to kids, and that sort of, created a lot of chaos, and like you would anywhere. I think also it's like a lot of poor and working class neighborhoods anywhere, and facing some of the similar problems, and yet like it gets vilified way more, I think, because of race in addition to class. There was the corner of Oak and Cleveland was called Death Corner. There were more murders there than anywhere in Chicago. And sort of like talking about these mythical killers, almost like Candyman stories. And that's actually back when it was an Italian neighborhood. And, this is in the 1910s, it's Death Corner. And, the Tribune was writing about it in this sort of like salacious kind of racialized way. And I think like you see sort of these stories that reoccur, like at some point, the Italians are no longer thought other in the same way, and sort of like almost the exact same stories are being written 50 years later on the exact same corner, and suddenly the sort of like mythical killers and sort of the deadly encounters are all black. I certainly encountered a lot of people who just sort of lived extraordinary and ordinary lives there, and in addition to people who did bad and good, really complicated stories, hustled in different sorts of ways, and, also experienced a lot of violence, and some people who did horrible violence. Those are a lot of the stories in neighborhoods like that. And I think, to dismiss the whole place and to think of it as like, you are guilty of creating your own fate, I think is kind of absurd.
Well, because it was, it's almost codified. We've designated this poor population to only be able to live there. Now, you mentioned the movie Candyman, which was used as a backdrop for obviously a horror movie. And our producer, Tom Hush, wanted to ask you something about that as well.
Go ahead, Tom.
Yeah, because growing up, Candyman was pretty much my idea of what public housing was like in the most messed up way you can imagine. And you were mentioning, how the idea of Cabrini Green and public housing in general seeped into the pop culture consciousness. I just wanted to get your read on how much that idea of the Candyman, of the murder, and how they portrayed public housing still affects people today. Even though it's so obviously fictional, often these fictional stories can be our basis for a lot of our opinions.
Yeah, so Candyman, that's a great question. Candyman's a movie that comes out in 1992, and it's about this hook-handed sort of apparition, ghostly killer. If you say his name five times, Candyman, 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 Candyman. I won't say it the fifth time. If you say it five times, he suddenly appears and like gores you and kills you. One of the amazing things about the movie is that Candyman himself, this monster, doesn't appear until about 40 minutes in. I don't know if you remember that, Tom, from seeing it as a kid. But
yeah.
But really what's scary, the real monster is public housing, and particularly Cabrini Green. It already has this kind of mythological place in our imagination. And it's way scarier before the Candyman shows up. You know, it really does capture this like horror version, this horror story of public housing. One of the things that I find especially interesting about that is that movie isn't made in 1980 and it's not made in 1970. In 1980, all the horror movies are set in the suburbs. And, you know, before that, you could think of like The Haunted House on a Hill or The Woods. It's a scary place. I think it's particularly scary in 1990 because the city that we live in now is already starting to occur. So that, you know, we have, in 1990, for the first time in 40 years, the population of Chicago ticks upward. And so suddenly you have wealthier people and whiter people moving to the city center right around Cabrini Green. So Cabrini Green isn't like some far off danger. It's thought of as like this near miss. It's thought of as like, you know, space that you might share. And that's actually part of the story. You know, that you would be involved in this space, that it could like move anywhere you're moved into. That's very same year the riots in LA happened. And, you know, that sense that, you know, people could march up the street and to come into your neighborhood. So it really feels like it's both like an artifact of the last 40 years, but also this new fear because the city is turning once again, as it often does. You know, it always does. It's always in flux. But like the wealthy city that we're living in now is starting to happen. You know, one of the things, do you mind if I keep on talking?
Yeah, no, please. You're on a roll.
You know, one of the things that I find, you know, really interesting about Cabrini Green. So like for 50 years, it's like the embodiment of this idea of the inner city as dangerous place. And today, it's actually the kind of embodiment of the inner city as wealthy place. You know, the kind of place that a realtor would say inner city, and it means something positive rather than something terrifying. You know, there
was high rise.
Yeah, high rise.
Right.
Which actually means something, you know, fantastic. You know, and it's where corporations are moving. It's where, you know, wealthy young people are moving. You can't have a corporation and have in the suburbs anymore. You can't attract you know, people to work there. There was a report recently about the fastest growing areas in Cook County where people earn over $200,000. Cabrini Green is the fastest one in our county.
Wow.
And so to think of those same two places, and Candyman feels right at that tipping point, and that's why it's scary to people. Not because it's like, and there's several movies like that coming out right at that time where it's like the inner city horror story.
Yeah, it's so racialized as well. It's not just the idea of these economic disparities coming together in a place like this, but it's never poor white people, it's poor black people. And I don't know, when I saw the movie, I mean, I loved it because I was a big horror fan. I was like, oh man, this is so freaky. This must be a really crazy place to live. But looking back on it, I wonder how this was affecting my view of these things, my view of systemic racialized violence like that. And even with talk of Candyman being remade now in the next few years, I find it fascinating that they're going to return to it. But I feel like while it's a story that's rife for exploitation, it's also a story rife for subversion.
Yeah, yeah. And if Jordan Peele is listening, give me a call.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I want to be let me get on that. But I think you're right. I mean, like, so today it's, you know, it's not Candyman, but it's, you know, big areas of Chicago, like Chirac kind of, you know, in quotes, are thought of in that same way. And you could imagine, like, it's very similar sort of space. And, you know, it's at a time when the city couldn't be flourishing more in certain areas and sort of, you know, feeling like, you know, falling into despair in others. So, yeah, we'll see what they do with it and what actually becomes, like, the Candyman, you know, or what's the fill-in for Cabrini Green if that doesn't really make sense anymore.
We are talking to Ben Austin. He has written High Risers, Cabrini Green and the Fate of the American Public Housing And we want to talk to him a little bit more if you'll stay for another segment.
Sure.
And we're going to have the news in a moment. It's now available in paperback.
Yeah.
And where do you want to direct people to pick up a copy?
Anywhere. You know, there are amazing independent bookstores. In Hyde Park, I go to 57th Street Book and Seminary Co-op. But in Oak Park, I was just at Book Table signing copies yesterday. So if you're there, they're signed copies.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
They're wonderful. And I have to go to seminary because I still have, I think I still have shares there that I should probably find out about. More after this on 720 WG. The name Cabrini Green is synonymous with crime, with black folks. I think that people think of black criminals living in these high rises and gangbangers and drugs and killing each other. And that's sort of the mythology that's grown both because of pop culture, stories that have been told, maybe documentaries, but from within the city itself. I mean, I see texters right now sending me messages saying things like, if we keep giving things away for free, then they're not going to value it. The residents there destroyed it. At the end of the day, in the vast majority of these cases, you get out of life what you put into it. As long as we keep making excuses and justifying their behavior, it will never improve. We are talking to the author of High Risers, Cabrini Green and the Fate of American Public Housing. Ben Austin joins us, and also joining us in studio is Dr. Kathy Tynes, the president of the Illinois Medical Society. She's also assistant professor of medicine at Northwestern. And I wanted to let you know, so there's one texter who apparently does live in the area near Cabrini Green, and I imagine a lot of the neighbors have sentiments like this.
Yeah, I mean,
in the Gold Coast.
I think a mix of things.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I talked to many people who went to Lincoln Park, which is the public school there, and, you know, they had lived experiences with classmates who also lived in public housing, and they were like, these are my friends. And sometimes they would have things where, like, they could come over my house, but I couldn't go over theirs because they knew them. I mean, they were, you know, they had shared school experiences. You know, that idea of you know, that we sometimes think of getting stuff for free, our country spends many times more on mortgage interest deductions each year than it does for the entire budget of HUD that funds public housing. So we all sort of benefit from these kinds of subsidies. So I think it's a real fallacy. It's real, like, just, you know, it's just a mistake to think, like, you know, one thing is because we understand it as sort of like a you know, part of the social safety net, that it's any different than the kind of subsidies which many people who are homeowners and are much wealthier are receiving.
Well, you know, the phrase welfare queen is, you know, again, associated with black communities. And yet corporate welfare is like, well, you know, we've got to bring in jobs and, you know, we have to lure them here and you know, hopefully they'll stay. And that has an effect on our communities as well.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think of like the arc of public housing, sort of the rise and fall of high rise public housing is also sort of like the rise and fall of our sense of collective responsibility. You know, that also sort of has been demolished as well. Like we are much less committed to that. It's moved into the mainstream of sort of like a distaste for social safety net programs where it didn't used to be in the mainstream. I mean, there was always a fight, the same rhetoric you could hear in 1930 that you hear today. But the center sort of was, you know, open ground in a way that it's not.
Go ahead.
Well, and nowadays you're seeing really, you talk about open warfare on these programs. Their funding is being cut even more. They're just being undermined left and right, and it's frightening because it makes you wonder what's going to happen to people that don't have the means to take care of themselves.
Yeah, I mean, and also, you know, I think of something like public housing. What I'm really thinking about is housing and also homes. Like, who gets to call Chicago home? Mm-hmm. Who can afford to live here, and who can afford to live in a city where it's resource rich? We have more poor people in the United States living in suburbs now than we do in cities for the first time ever, and that's a you know, an interesting phenomenon, and also like a really dangerous one. It's actually much harder to be poor in the suburbs than it is in a city. There aren't buses, there aren't social services. It's just not set up that way. But that's where we're moving because. You know, we don't have living wages. We don't have the right kinds of jobs. We don't, you know, housing is incredibly expensive. You know, we have a shortage of affordable housing in this city of about 180,000 units. And that's a lot. That's a huge number.
So there's a movement in medicine called Housing First. And so it refers to taking care of indigent patients who need access to medication and to health care who have no homes or homeless. And what they found is when they've actually worked on getting them housing, their health improves because now they have, you know, a home base. Now they have safety. Now they have the ability to take care of themselves, to be clean, and, right. and to take their medications and to get mail and all these other things that we take for granted. So it's not just in the housing world, but also in the medical world that we're tackling this problem.
And I'm sure, you know, financially, the dollars invested in that pay off in savings of what, you know, and that's proven.
Right.
But it's really hard for people, even if they grasp that intellectually, to like stomach it.
Right.
It still feels wrong to them in some fundamental way.
To even, give people a free place to live. It, yeah, people.
Even though it's going to save money.
Yeah.
And it's.
In ER visits, absolutely. Yeah. And, you know, the loss of productivity and, you know, people can turn their lives around once they have some stability and it starts with a place to live.
Yes.
And we have a listener from the 217 who says, I live in East Central Illinois. Are there any comprehensive anthologies of stories of those who had to move to Danville, Decatur, or Champaign when Chicago destroyed the high-rise housing? I think the people who had to relocate are forgotten, and the culture shock had to be painful.
You know, that's a really interesting question in a lot of ways. And part of it is that you know, public housing was so vilified that people in other areas, whether it's Danville or Rockford or Indianapolis or Memphis, imagine that upticks in crime were due to public housing residents from Chicago moving there. I think, you know, there have been many studies looking at that, whether that's true, both by sort of think tanks and by like local investigative reporters and other groups and governments. And it isn't true. I think mostly what people are seeing are largely like, say, poor people or poor African Americans moving there, not necessarily public housing. People are still thinking about crime coming from, say, the high rises. The last high rise was torn down in 2011. So to imagine like 8 years later that some uptick in crime is happening because of that, that doesn't really make sense. But people have dispersed all over the place. You know, you guys probably know that the African American population in Chicago has fallen by like 250,000 since 2000. And so, you know, people are voting with their feet and they're leaving because of, you know, closed schools, crime, lack of services. The housing crisis hit terribly in black communities and brown communities. Yeah, there's been a lot of dispersing of people from Chicago.
Are there right now, because I think that, you know, they're trying to change the language, and I don't think that that helps anybody. Everyone still hears affordable housing, and they still hear public housing or Section 8. Are there places now in Chicago where it's working?
You know, I mean, there is more affordable. There's affordable housing. He says, is it working? You know, CHA is doing more smaller things and, like, you know, co-building with libraries and things like that. You know, where it doesn't work, unfortunately, is like when there are tax breaks to go with new developments in wealthy neighborhoods, and developers are able to opt out and just sort of pay a fine, pay a fee, because there's much more, you know, they make back the money immediately. So that should be required rather than, you know, an option. Yeah, I mean, we have low-income housing tax credits that work in some ways. You know, we have a whole sort of, like, menu of things, and they all work a little bit. Like, I don't want to damn any of them. I mean, even, you know, Section 8, which we rely on way more now than we ever did. You know, sort of it's like twice as much as actual, like, hard unit public housing. And it's difficult to manage, but it's also, like, it's a vital resource. So, like, we need all of it. We need more. We need, like, five times more.
We have been talking to Ben Austin. He is the author of High Risers, Cabrini-Green and the Fate of American Public Housing. You can follow him on Twitter at Ben_Austin, AUSTEN. The book is now out in paperback, and it's available wherever you buy books, including some of the great independent bookstores like Barbara's Bookstore and the Seminary and all these great places in Chicago or near you, perhaps. And what I'd like to do is invite you back so that I have a chance to read this and have another conversation with you, and then we'd love to do a panel, because I know this is really an issue that is so important. As Dr. Kathy Tynes mentioned, people are in different professions are still trying to figure this out. We have a listener who obviously very
very passionate about this as well and has a lot of thoughts. So we'll maybe I'll cobble these together and keep those texts and introduce them into the conversation. Or perhaps they will show up again and share their
hopefully
thoughts.
Hopefully not outside my door.
Are you? No. I mean, on the text screen. Yes, good point. No, they don't. They're not. They're just sharing their thoughts. And of course, a lot of people have concerns when it comes to public housing. Are you working on another project? What are you up to?
I am working on a podcast called The City. Our first season was about North Lawndale and about Operation Silver Shovel. You can listen to it. It's through another newspaper, USA Today. And I am also working on some longer term projects, figuring out.
Excellent. Yeah. I think we have to have him on regularly, Doug.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. That's Ben Austin. We look forward to having you back very soon. I need to get a photo with you before you go, too.
Thanks so much. And go White Sox.
I know. Go White Sox. I know we haven't even talked about that.
Go Sox.
For the first time since I was in Little League, I am wearing a White Sox hat. And, you know, sometimes you make business decisions. More in a moment on 720 WGN. It is Valentine's Day in just a little bit. Dr. Kathy Tynes joins us. She is the Assistant Professor of Medicine at Northwestern. She's also the President of the Illinois State Medical Society. You can follow her on Twitter at KTynes on Twitter. That's KTYNUS. And you can also visit the website ismS.org for the Illinois State Medical Society information. And now you want to introduce your husband, John Culver, in studio as well?
Yes, we are fortunate to have John Culver, Esquire, lawyer extraordinaire, joining us here in the studio tonight. What a treat.
Some are more fortunate than others.
Well, that's the thing is you guys have found each other after having first marriages and kids with other spouses. And, relationships.
Seven of them.
Seven. you were like, we can do better than Brady Bunch.
Right.
Well, you have one Oliver more. Somewhere
one
in there.
We're one up.
Mm-hmm. And when we talk about Valentine's Day, there are some people who feel like maybe they're not in a good relationship, but there are some people who are in a dangerous relationship. And I've never really thought about how painful this day must be to think about the fact that not only are, you know, you might be emotionally or physically in danger on a day when people are celebrating love. And I think it's important to maybe shine a little bit of light on that and talk about what people can do in order to help themselves. Or maybe if you know somebody who is in danger, how you can help them.
So there are resources. So if you feel that your life is in danger, and Lord only knows, there's quite a bit of danger, more danger of being harmed by a loved one than by a stranger, especially if there's a gun in the home. People who really don't feel unsafe in their home, they have resources. There's the National Domestic Violence Hotline number, which is 1-800-799-7233. Or you can go to the website thehotline.org and get help. But please do take care of yourself, and please do seek help if you need it.
It's hard because a lot of people who find themselves in a situation like that where, it starts out sometimes with emotional isolation. You know, they don't let you talk to family members or friends. If someone starts to get jealous and, starts to emotionally manipulate you, it can happen over time in a way that doesn't seem apparent. And I think that people feel ashamed. They feel like, well, you know, they're not always like this. But I love them and I can make them better. I think that it's hard. The hardest person to admit it to sometimes is yourself.
That's very true. And I think for a lot of people who are in an abusive relationship, if they're not able to get their spouse to go and get counseling with them or on their own, you yourself would probably benefit from getting counseling so that you can face your challenges and you can find ways to really find a more healthy relationship. So I would strongly urge anyone who's in that type of relationship to really take care of themselves first and to seek counseling. And they may find the strength that it takes, because it can be daunting. It can be frightening to leave a longstanding relationship. So finding that strength can be beneficial, and that's where counseling can help.
And speaking of counseling, I know that when my mom lost my dad, now they had a unique relationship, but I think in some ways, she found her way of dealing with the loss. But sometimes people really do, we talk about broken heart syndrome, and it sounds like something that's made up, but it sounds as though there have been instances where people really have a tough time recovering from the loss of a spouse or a loved one.
So there's actually a medical issue that's called broken heart syndrome in addition to what you're describing. So when people are under extreme stress, mm-hmm. and they call it broken heart for a reason, they can develop an acute onset of heart failure that can look, that can mimic what looks like a heart attack. But it's actually reversible.
Oh,
it gets better by itself. It has another name. It's called stress-induced cardiomyopathy or Takotsubo cardiomyopathy, which is named after the first person who described it in Japan. So it's often misdiagnosed as a heart attack, and it can be typically caused by an emotionally stressful event. So in addition to just that lovelorn feeling that people can get when they have emotional stress, they can actually get physically sick and end up in the hospital. So part of the heart temporarily enlarges and doesn't pump well, while the rest of the heart can function normally or even with more forceful contractions. And the most common sign of broken heart syndrome is chest pain and shortness of breath, so just like a heart attack. And oftentimes, you know, medically, we can't really distinguish it from a heart attack until some time goes by and we see that all the changes resolve on their own.
We are talking to Dr. Kathy Tynes, and we've got John Culver in studio. By the way, John, I'm going to need you to do me a favor, John Culver, Esquire. Try to find the last three songs you randomly heard, because Dr. Lars Dingman is on his way in the studio. He is the iTunes psychic, and he needs the last three songs that you randomly heard, even if it was, I know you just came from somewhere.
I came from a show.
But you didn't know what songs they were going to play, so, right?
I had a really good idea, but I know what the last three songs I heard were.
So this works out perfectly. So this will tell us a little bit about your future, because maybe they changed up the order. So
I can't wait.
So Dr. Lars Dingman is coming in studio. We have a live appearance tomorrow night at the Comedy Shrine in Aurora. Dr. Lars Dingman, myself, and David Vox-Millen, we're all going to be at the Comedy Shrine. The show is at 7:30. You can go to comedyshrine.com for the ticket information. More in a moment on 720 WGN. And yes, 301, I am wearing a White Sox hat for the first time since I was 11. For Valentine's Day, we'd love for you to come and join us at the Comedy Shrine in Aurora. Dr. Lars Dingman, David Vox-Millen, and I will all be out there hanging out with you, and I'll be performing some stand-up comedy, as will David. And Dr. Lars Dingman will be doing some in-person iTunes psychic readings for you. He's in studio with us tonight. This is exciting. It's been a while.
It certainly has, Patty. My goodness, this is a completely different studio than the one on the ground.
I know. I think it was cold the last time I had you in studio, last winter, as a matter of fact.
Yeah.
The river had frozen,
mm-hmm.
and you were quite angry about having to be in Chicago, but we welcome you back.
I always enjoy coming to Chicago. It's just sometimes it's, you know, your snot freezes. How can you be happy about frozen snot? You know,
that's fair.
Snot should be body temperature.
Fair enough. I'm excited to have you here. And it was great to finally introduce you to Dr. Kathy Tynes, who you've been on the phone with mm-hmm. before many times. And also in studio with us tonight is John Culver, her lovely husband, who I asked him to have three songs that were randomly played for him. He happened to come. Now, does it matter if someone came from like a concert?
No, as long as they weren't playing the concert themselves. You know,
right.
if Paul McCartney and he did the set list, then it would be a little weird. But as long as they were random songs that fell across your ears without your knowledge or control, then it seems to work.
So I'm looking forward to this because as many of you know, I have an appalling lack of musical knowledge. We actually have a segment called Patty's Appalling Lack of Musical Knowledge. We're not going to play that tonight, but
it's a stunning lack of knowledge for someone who works in radio.
Yeah, but I talk.
Yeah, but there's, you know, radio is music. There's music in the bumper coming in and going out. You'd think just over time, by osmosis, you would, you know, get hip to some actual musical things.
One of the things I love about you, Dr. Dingman, is how good you make me feel about myself.
I'm not judging you.
I know.
When I say appalling, I don't mean that in a judgy way.
Well, we have a listener from the 847 who isn't as big of a fan as Trucker Rich, who's on the line with us. Hey, Trucker Rich, how are you doing?
I'm doing great, Patty. Happy Valentine's Day to you and your family and all your loved ones. And I just want to say thank you to Dr. Dingman. He's my hero.
It's good to hear from you again, Rich. How you feeling?
I'm not doing too bad. It's really bizarre, but my wife borrowed my pickup truck this afternoon mm-hmm. and listened to satellite radio, and I jump in it tonight. The first song that came on was Signs. that song Signs.
Mm-hmm.
And every time I hear that song on the way to work, you're on the radio.
Oh.
So it's like,
what?
You know, it's weird. It's like like he says, the universe is telling me to make sure I'm listening to you guys.
Yeah,
when he's here.
Yeah, there are no coincidences, Rich. This is, and I think perhaps our breakthrough, man, this is almost probably a year ago now, right?
More than a year, about a year and a half?
Year and a half. Yeah, it kind of tuned you up.
Yeah, it was June of 2017 when I had the surgery.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so it's going on 2 years, and I'm doing good. Like you said, it was just a speed bump in the road of life.
Good. So you're cancer-free and everything is good?
Yes, sir.
That's fantastic.
And I follow you on Facebook, and I follow Patty on Facebook. I don't get on her as much, but like I said, it was just with the weather we've had in the last week, I haven't been able to listen to Patty's show because I have to start later because of the weather. But
yeah,
it's like I didn't know you were going to be on tonight. And when I heard that song on the radio coming, getting under my pickup truck before I changed stations back to GN, it was like, I bet you Dr. Dingman's going to be on tonight. Because the last 3 out of 4 times you've been on, that song's the first thing I heard when I started my pickup truck on the way to work.
Wow. Yeah, that's pretty powerful. Are you going to come to the show tomorrow night? We can meet you live and in person?
I wanted to, but, you know, as you say, life gets in the way. And I work for a real small company, and we've just gotten busy, and it's like no can't hardly get any time off, but I mean, I really wanted to. So I know you'll be in town some other time. So
I'll be back. When it's warmer, and my snot will be room temperature.
Right. So anyway, to everybody that doesn't believe that what you do is real, it is.
Thank you.
You were an inspiration, and both you and Patty have gotten me through some tough times. So
that's so wonderful to hear, Rich.
Glad to be here with you.
You guys be well and have a good warm night there in the studio.
We're doing not too badly. You be safe out there. We look forward to talking to you again, Trucker Rich.
All right.
Bye, Rich.
Have a good evening. Bye-bye.
You as well. Thank you.
That's the power of your show right here, Patty. That's the power of radio. The vibrations, the waves that emanate from this studio out all over the 29 states, all over the Midwest. You know, you have fun. You do interesting, weird things on your show every single day. And it's a privilege to be a part of your program.
I appreciate it. Well, it's great. The fact that we even were able to collaborate like this several years ago has been one of my favorite things. And there are people who I think they're resistant to it. I think that they, you know, they get turned off by it. And, you know, we respect their opinions. And,
sure.
And hope that they can perhaps open their hearts at some point.
Well, you know what? This isn't for everyone. Some people still believe the earth is flat.
That's a good point.
Some people don't believe in vaccination. Some people, you know.
Doc. No. Yeah, sorry.
You know, there are people that choose to shroud themselves in a cocoon, a furry blanket of ignorance. And if so, let them be that way. But that's not, you know. The world is changing, and people understand that you know, there's more to even doctors and scientists understand that there is a metaphysical component to the body and to health.
I want a furry blanket, but not of ignorance. That's
no.
Not a good blanket to have.
It smothers you.
You had me there for up to the ignorant part.
Until the ignorant part. We are going to be at the Comedy Shrine in Aurora. You can go to comedyshrine.com for ticket information. And Dr. Dingman will be there doing readings live and in person. I'll be doing some stand-up comedy. And David Vox-Millen also joins us at the Comedy
Club.
He's
a funny guy, too.
He's very funny.
Yeah.
And the earth is...
got a flat earther on the bottom?
I think they're teasing. The 312, hi, thank you so much. You're great as well. We're going to find out what John Culver's three songs were that he heard randomly in just a moment when we come back. And you can have a reading done as well. 312-981-7200. That number for you to join us is 312-981-7200. It's always better when you call us. More in a moment on 720 WGN. Dr. Lars Lars Dingman joins us live in studio, and he will be at the Comedy Shrine in Aurora. You can go to ComedyShrine.com. I will be there as well doing stand-up comedy with David Vox Mullen, and Dr. Dingman will be doing in-person readings for you. He's doing them here in studio. We lost Anne. Anne was on hold. I thought she was going to have a reading done, but maybe she'll call back. She was like, I'm on hold too long, and I don't blame you. That happens sometimes. Dr. Kathy Tynes joins us as well. She's assistant professor of medicine at Northwestern and president of the Illinois State Medical Society. You can follow her on Twitter at ktynus, and that's K-T-Y-N-U-S. And find out more about what the work that the Illinois Medical Society does by visiting ismsorg. And we also haven't. I've been eating those peanut butter M&Ms, and you heard a little bit of that.
They're like crack.
It got stuck there in the back of my throat. Also joining us is John Culler. I'm sorry. I've got so many names in my head. John Culver in studio with us as well. How are you doing, sir?
I'm good, thank you.
Excellent. And you were at a concert tonight.
I was at Martyrs in North Center, which is a crown jewel of the city of Chicago.
I agree.
It's a small venue that everyone should support, or at least venues of that sort. And tonight they had a sold-out show with Tributosaurus. They've been around for 17 years, and they did Led Zeppelin, one of my very favorites. So couldn't resist, and I came straight from there to here.
Uh-huh.
The Signs song they segued into for a little while, which...
That's crazy.
Everywhere.
They say there are no coincidences, but I don't know. And I saw a flat earther with a sandwich board at the Chinese New Year's parade on Sunday.
Yeah, so the flat earth thing, I thought that was just like some random folks, but like online, but you saw somebody handing out pamphlets about it.
Yeah, like literature.
Literature.
Like 8.5 by 11, but... apparently he needed some fresh air, so he got out.
I would love to talk to someone who truly believes that the earth is flat.
312-981-7200. By the way, Trucker Rich says, hey, Patty, good evening. This is Trucker Rich again. In regards to Dr. Dingman's statement about the earth being flat, it's not flat because if it was, cats would have knocked everything off it by now.
Well, there's proof. There's the proof. That's the proof that those people have needed.
Right. And that guy with the pamphlets had a long list of reasons why the earth was flat. And he forgot about the cats.
He totally forgot about the cats.
So did the Pope when he killed Galileo. They all have reasons, but they're
wrong.
They're dumb reasons. I mean, why are we counting? The dumb reasons. There's pictures. Mm-hmm. There's physical evidence. There's physics. There's everything else in the universe is a sphere. Why would the earth be flat? People are nuts.
Galileo actually wasn't slaughtered by the Pope. He was imprisoned, and he recanted and was released.
That is correct.
And he was a poor old blind man in the end because he went blind looking at the sun.
Yeah. Who was the one that was killed by the... Who was sentenced to death for science? Was it
Copernicus?
Copernicus.
Yes.
There we go.
And his crime was he didn't put the sun at the center of the universe.
Oh,
he let data show that, oh, geez, the earth goes around the sun.
He didn't put the earth at the center of the universe.
Right. Yeah, he put the sun at the center of the solar system, and that freaked out the people.
Someone from the 419 just made a curious kitty with symbols on their phone. So thank you for that from the 419. Where's 419? Tom, can you let me know where we can find? I want to know where you're texting from. All right, John Culver, you have your three. Are you ready to have your your reading done?
They're
in
all Led Zeppelin tunes.
Okay, so these are songs that you heard live tonight, right?
And since you want the last three, I will give them to you in descending order, so right. The very last to the third last.
Okay.
So the last one, which made me make a quick exit and allow me to get here a little more timely than I thought I would because I never need to hear it again, was Stairway to Heaven, or as I like to refer to it, Hairway to Stephen.
Okay.
The second to last was obscure Led Zeppelin tune off of Led Zeppelin 3, that they recorded in Wales, called the Brawny Oar Stomp. Brawny Oar is a little, very obscure place in Wales, and Jimmy Page had a little cottage there, and that's where they recorded the album.
All right.
The third to last was 10 Years Gone, which is on Physical Graffiti, released in 1975, and it is one of my very favorite, if not my favorite, Led Zeppelin tunes. And let me embellish this just a little more. All my passwords for all my devices.
What?
Oh, no, no, no.
have some variation of Led Zepp in them.
Oh, we're going to have to change all our passwords.
You realize this is on the radio, right?
Did you
right,
know that?
So figure
the mic
it out,
is on.
People.
This is...
And what is your mother's maiden name and your last four digits of your social security
and number? Your home address?
Thank you.
Her maiden name is Dingman.
Ooh, it got interesting now. Well. It's a telenovela.
All right, so we got, John, your three songs are Stairway to Heaven, Brownoir Stomp, and 10 Years Gone. I see that you feel stymied and upset about something that's happening in your professional life. You feel like you should be advancing towards the glass ceiling or advancing up the stairway, but you're being stomped on and you've been caught in a loop for, it feels like to you, 10 years. It may not actually be 10 years, but I feel that you're in a you're frustrated professionally. Is that true or false?
9 years this July, I hung a shingle and became my own boss, so it's actually the opposite.
Oh, okay. All right, so you're doing well. So you're on the stairway then already.
To Steven, I suppose.
Yes. All right, so that's the 10 years. So maybe you said you've been doing it for 9 years, you're doing well. Okay, well, I had these backwards. Typically, the reason I ask for three songs, one song represents your past, the other song represents your present, and then the third song represents your future, and you gave them to me in reverse order. That perhaps is why that I... So the stairway is what's happening in the future, and now you're continuing to go up, and you're leaving the stomp from 9 years ago. You were in the same business before you started your own business, or slightly different?
I've been out of school and been a lawyer for 30 years.
Okay. All right. So this is something that you've wanted to do for a long time, and you've been doing it 9 years. A 10-year stomp. Is it something you're going to do the rest of your life, or is it something you might be getting ready to change gears again in another year?
I'll do it for the rest of my life if I die before I retire.
Okay. All right. So I think what this reading from the universe is saying is 9 years ago, you obviously made a change in your life because you felt you didn't want to work for anybody else. You didn't want to work for the man, and you wanted to work for yourself. And I think it's been working out quite well. You're on that stairway. You know, stairways can go one of two ways. You're going up, which typically is good, or you're going down. Stairway to Heaven is a good stairway. You know, it's better than an escalator to hell, which, you know, would be bad. I've never heard that there's a song like that, but if there is, it's probably not a good one. So I think this is the universe saying you made a great choice 9 years ago.
If you've heard Stairway to Heaven as many times as I have, it's more like an escalator to hell.
Yeah, it could go on very, very, very long time. I think this is the universe patting you on the back, really, John, and saying, you know what? That's a ballsy move to quit your job and to start working for yourself. And I think it's panned out for you. And this is the universe saying, good job. Good courage.
You got a good one.
I'll go with that.
Yeah.
312-981-7200. You can have your reading done by Dr. Lars Dingman. Maybe the universe is patting you in the back or kicking you in the butt. I don't know.
Right.
Let us know. 312-981-7200. I don't think it's a stretch of anyone's imagination that I don't know who sings this. You're listening to the Patty Vasquez Show, and I have an appalling lack of musical knowledge, which is not easy for...
It's Golden Earring.
Golden
Earring.
Golden Earring.
Why is everyone yelling? Dr. Lars Dingman, who knew that you were so much louder in studio?
That's a Golden Earring song. The same people that did Muskrat Love, was that their song too?
No, that's Captain and Tennille.
Oh, I confused them.
Oh, boy. We have a request from a listener, Vic Vaughn, in the newsroom.
Yes, ma'am.
Is there any chance you would be interested in having a reading done?
Oh, sure, I'd do it.
Oh, there we go. All right. So
I'll have to be prepared. I don't think I listened to a single song today.
Do you remember from yesterday, by any chance?
No. Mm. I don't listen to music much, so I'll try to listen to music a little more. I'd love to.
Okay. So for next week, we'll hopefully have a reading done.
I'm a little scared, but I actually anticipated eventually you asking me to do this. And I got a little, and then I thought, give it a shot.
All right, next time you compile a list of the last three songs you heard before you come into the station. So that was from the 708. They wanted to know if you wanted to have a reading done. 312-981-7200. And Dr. Dingman, I guess we should let people know why it's important for it to be the last three songs they've randomly heard.
Well, it's because that's how the universe communicates with us. The underlying physical reality of the universe, and science physicists are slowly understanding this. There is no matter, there is energy. Vibration is the totality of the universe. Sound is a vibration, light is a vibration, breathing is a vibration. The energy is really what makes the universe happen. The Big Bang was when all the energy in the whole universe was packed into a zero point mass, and it exploded, and that energy is what makes us. So
this is quantum mechanics is what you're talking about.
Yes, exactly. And science, you know, people, doctors talk about what is consciousness, what is the mind. They can't explain it without going to some form of non-physical explanation.
Metaphysics,
and that is vibration, that is energy, and that's the currency of the universe. So for the universe to communicate with human beings, it uses music, which is an ultimate vibration. And like you were reading earlier, John, you're on the right path. And those three songs are basically saying, you know what, when you quit your job 9 years ago, it could have been a huge disaster, but it worked out. You did the right thing. You summoned the courage. You didn't want to work a crappy job anymore. And you stuck out on your own. And you did well. And so this is the universe. If there was any question in your mind, maybe recently you were wondering, oh, did I do the right thing? Did I not? This is the universe saying you absolutely did the right thing. And sometimes it's that way. Other times people are lost or they're going down the wrong road, and the universe kind of smacks them in the butt and says, hey, you're doing something stupid here. And here's, you know, here's a way out, basically. So it's people pray. People talk to God or Vishnu or to dead relatives. It's all different words for the same thing. We are all connected as living beings. We're all connected in some way. And that way, I believe, and my experience tells me, is through this vibrational field. And through this field is the way the universe can communicate with us. And song titles, it's just the most easily accessible pop culture-y way to do it.
Dr. Dingman will be available for live readings tomorrow night, actually, in person at the Comedy Shrine in Aurora. I'll be performing some stand-up comedy ahead of that, those readings, and as will David Vox-Mullen.
It's a dinner show, too, Patty. $20, dinner, champagne, comedy from you guys, and little glimpses of the future. We might even pull single people out of the audience, and I'll see if I can use song titles to like matchmake a couple. Who knows?
Wonderful. It's a psychic circus tomorrow night.
It is every day of my life, yes.
Psychic circus.
The irony is they heard matchmaker.
Yeah. 312-981-7200. If you want to have a reading done tonight live on the air, we'd love to hear from you. 312-981-7200. And I know we've got Jane who's been on hold. Hi, Jane. How are you doing tonight?
Oh, doing good tonight. I listen to the radio when I'm in bed, when I'm trying to get ready to go to bed.
Oh, boy, we're keeping you up.
I'm almost sleeping.
Yeah.
What are your last three songs that you randomly heard, Jane?
The number one would be actually Eye in the Sky by the Ellen Parsons Project.
Okay.
And the next one, I'm guessing, would be Strange Magic by the Electric Light Orchestra.
Okay.
And then, actually, the third one is probably, if I'm right, it's that one by, they says by Styx, where they say, I think it's called You're Fooling Yourself. It goes, you're fooling yourself, you don't believe it, get up, you know that song?
Yes, I do.
Yeah, that one.
Okay. All right, I believe it is called You're Fooling Yourself.
Okay, because yeah, I have people at work try to help me get these songs because I don't have a computer or nothing of that sort. And I like to get some of these old songs that I don't have, so.
All right, so Jane, here are your three songs. Eye in the Sky,
yeah.
Right? Strange Magic, and You're Fooling Yourself by
yeah.
Styx. I think what the universe is saying is that there are some people who plod along with their feet on the ground all the time. I'm sensing, Jane, that your head is always in the clouds.
I don't know, but I think about all kinds of things.
Yeah.
I'm a cleaner at a casino, and they play the music, and, you know, I like certain songs, and they remind me of certain people.
Right.
But, yeah.
Yeah, you're an ethereal person. I think you've lived many lives before this. Are you conscious of any reincarnated lives that you may have lived before?
Yes, I am, very much so. I'm a Scorpio.
Yeah. Were you ever... I'm sensing... There's something snake-like about you. Do you recall ever being perhaps a snake in a past life? A slithery, reptilian kind of being?
No, but I can tell you what I can't say in there what I think I used to be in other lifetimes, because it's stuff that people would be offended by. It's one of them is like, I'll give you kind of an example.
Okay.
When I wear my tags at work, I feel like Barabbas.
Oh, like a Judas.
Well, like a slave.
A slave. Well, okay, that's not a dirty
We're not
word.
We're supposed to say that word, but
well,
that's how I
well,
felt.
No,
like
but
I was
slavery
one
exists
in another lifetime. Because when I was a kid, about 7 or 8 years old, I made a bracelet like that, and I believed in that stuff way back, and I said I was a slave in another lifetime.
Yeah, well, that's what the Eye in the Sky song is, right? If you're a slave, you're always being watched, and you're being pushed around by your slave master, and that's the first song you gave me. That's your past. That's the Eye in the Sky. So
that reminds me of my old boyfriend of mine that died tragically, because all the boyfriends I've picked that were no good remind me of, you remember the movie Terrace Bulba with Tony Curtis, how, you know, it reminded me of like a guy picking a girl, forbidden love that the parents wouldn't approve of. Got it?
Right. Sure. Well, that's, yeah, you can't, if you're a slave, you can't mix with the regular people back thousands of years ago. So I definitely think you were a slave, slithering through an existence that was not happy for you. Your second song, Strange Magic, that's your current life. That's, you say you work in a casino.
Cleaning.
Cleaning. Do you ever gamble yourself? You ever get a?
I used to.
Yeah, and would you get a gamble? Like you, were you lucky at gambling?
Sometimes, but not real lucky because I never had much money.
Yeah, that's tough. Well, you can't really make a lot of money gambling in the long run because the house always wins, right?
Right.
That's the magic, and you're fooling yourself. That's your future. Okay, that's your future song. I see that. Again, you're a very ethereal person. You have strange thoughts that most people don't have. You live a very ethereal life. You follow the whims in your mind. You're not a you're not a boring person, is what I'm saying, Jane.
No, and I always pick guys that I call them hot nuts. Get it? I once went out with a guy that looked like Chico Marx from the Marx Brothers. I'm not kidding.
He looked like nuts? Chico.
Yeah. We rode my bicycle. I sat on the seat. He went on the pedals, and away we went. And his name was Rodolfo Rosales. He was a nice, good, hot. And I once actually went out with a guy actually twice during lunchtime, believe it or not. When I
You went out with him twice in one lunchtime?
What'd you say?
You went out with him twice in one lunchtime?
No, twice during the time that I worked at METC downtown campus.
Oh, I see. Okay.
And went to school there. His name was Mark Reckless. And he used to wear these tight clothes, and I was always looking at his butt. It was so funny.
Well, Jane, I think this is the universe telling you that you are delightfully, and I do not mean this in any way but beautiful, a delightfully strange person. There are so many boring people in the world, and you have a delightful, twisted look on life, and this is the universe saying, don't ever lose that. Keep your eye in the sky and keep fooling yourself with your strange magic, because it works for you, Jane.
Yeah. What a wonderful
thank you
reading.
For calling.
Thank you so much, Jane. We've got to take a break here. We've got other listeners who have jumped on the line. We're gonna get to Judy and Mary Ellen in just a moment on 720 WGN, and Dr. Dingman will be available for live readings in person at the Comedy Shrine. It's a dinner and a wonderful experience, all in one, for $20. Go to comedyshrine.com for more information. I'll be there too. More in a moment. Happy Valentine's Day, everybody. We are so thrilled to be in the studio. Hey, John Culver, how are you doing?
Those are the almonds.
The almonds?
Featuring Dwayne.
Dwayne Allman.
Yeah. That's right.
And Dickie Betts.
Allman,
and
not Barry Allman. Oakley. Not the nuts.
The Allman Brothers.
Okay, yeah. The Allman Brothers.
The Allman.
What about the late toasted.
Great Dwayne Allman?
Toasted Allman?
Toasted Allman.
How about some toasted almond? That's John Culver, Esquire, joining us in studio. We'll try to get some legal stories in just a little bit. We've also got Dr. Kathy Tynes. Want to remind folks, we were talking earlier about insulinhelp.org. The price of insulin has gone up for many patients, and if you find that you are faced with the choice of going without or you can't afford it, please go to insulinhelp.org, and there will be some assistance for you there. So thank you so much for letting people know about that, Dr. Tynes. And you can follow her on Twitter at K Tynes. That's K-T-Y-N-U-S. And she is the assistant professor of medicine at Northwestern and the president of the Illinois State Medical Society. Dr. Dingman is going to be doing live readings at the Comedy Shrine in Aurora. There's dinner, a little champagne toast.
Yeah.
And we're going to do comedy. I'm going to do comedy. And he will be doing live readings. He's also doing them right now on the air for our listeners. And Judy's on the line. Hi, Judy from Milwaukee. How are you doing?
Real good, Patty. How are you?
I'm very well. It's great to hear from you. Do you have your last three songs that you randomly heard?
Yes, I do.
Excellent. Let us know.
Hey, Jude. Falling in Love with You by Elvis and Always.
By Patsy Cline? No, that's not Patsy Cline.
Always.
Always.
Yeah.
What's
the song Always?
What's the song Always?
Always.
Who sings that?
Everybody does.
Everybody, yeah. Everybody does?
What's Always? Anybody? How does it sound? Someone sing it for me.
Dun, 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 dun. Always. Dun, 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 dun. Always. That one?
That one.
Yeah,
that one. One.
Yeah, it's a maybe Cole Porter. It's old.
Okay.
Yeah, it's very old.
Yeah.
Back in the 40s and 50s and 60s.
Right. Right. So you got Hey Jude, Always, and
Falling in Love with You by Elvis.
Oh, Elvis, sure. Falling in Love with You. All right, Judy, you're in love right now. True or false?
I am.
Yeah, that's what I'm seeing.
But I'm in love with a corpse.
That's...
Dr. Dingman, I lost my husband last month.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
And we were together 47 years marriage, 49 years going together.
Right.
And I mean, we went together every single day.
No, but that was the next thing I was going to say, Judy, is you're in love and the always. That will never change, right?
Exactly.
Regardless of whether he is here on this plane or he's passed over to the next plane. The love doesn't die. The body dies, but the souls of the people, if you were listening a moment ago to the lady that was early, she's been reincarnated many times, and you seem your husband passed away a month ago. You're saying,
yes, he did. It'll be the he died on the 19th of January, so it'll be a month on the 19th of February.
Sorry for your loss, but you seem to understand what actually happened, which I think is amazing.
Yeah. Oh yeah, he died of dementia and Alzheimer's.
Oh,
and he lived with it for 19 years.
Oh my goodness. So,
in the last 3 years, he resided in a nursing home.
Let me ask you this. In the last month, since his body has died, have you felt any communication coming from him?
Oh, definitely. He's always in my ear.
Literally in your ear, right? You can actually hear his voice, yes?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Oh, definitely.
Yeah. What has happened is... all falling in love. You two fell in love a long, long time ago. You'll always be in love. The Hey Jude. Mm-hmm. The Hey Jude. He has been locked inside this prison of dementia and a failing body for many, many years. Now he's free. So he's tapping you on your shoulder.
Exactly.
Yeah, and what,
exactly. You are 100% right.
And hey, lady, what is your name?
Judy.
Hey, Jude.
And they call me Jude.
Hey, Jude.
Every now and then, especially my older sister.
Hey, Jude, I'm here. Hey, Jude, I'm better off than I was. I want you to know that I love you always.
I know. Yes. And what we did, I did in November, I got a chance to take a gentleman that I had met, and he's a karaoke fella. And he went out to the nursing home and performed for the residents. And Jerry was in good spirits that day, and he sat in the dining room for the whole 2.5 hours.
Uh-huh.
And he did a slide presentation of all the songs that he did for the people.
Yeah.
And it was beautiful.
Yeah. I must say, Judy, this is just a crystal clear reading. And we've had several of these before on Patty's show. Often when people die and leave someone they love behind, the people that are still alive are crushed with sadness and grief. And certainly that is a very healthy emotion. And I think it's also very healthy for you only a month afterwards to have come through that and to be able to feel him and hear him tapping on your ear, tapping on your shoulder, and connecting with the love that you lived your entire life with. This it's a very important phenomenon.
Way to go on. Way to go on.
Right. And some people may say, oh, that's your mind playing tricks on you.
It's not really happening.
But it's genuine. Yeah.
Let me offer some additional validation. I Googled always because I did not know who wrote it, which I'm sort of ashamed about. Irving Berlin wrote it, 1925.
That's right.
Oh, there you go.
He, as a wedding gift to his wife.
What?
Oh, how beautiful.
And he bequeathed the royalties to her, which were substantial.
Yeah.
So it was a hell of a gift.
Well, there you go. If you're going to pick a song, could he possibly be communicating more love to you from beyond than he's doing right now? This is a
could be.
<I don't know. laughs>
Because sadly to say, the day we brought him in for his memorial service, we had an ugly snowstorm here in Wisconsin, and lo and behold, they got stuck on Blue Mountain Road by the zoo. And they called me to say they were stuck at the zoo, and I was laughing. I'm going, that was our standard joke. Go, you know, the zoo's up the street. Stop there first before you come to the house.
See, people's there are no coincidences, Judy. And because you have a sense of humor and you understand that joke, that's why that happened. And you see importance in it, and you see relevance. A lot of people, you know, they go through their lives, and these songs bombard them all day long, but they don't stop to go, geez, why am I hearing this particular song? Why did that just happen to me? So many times during the day, the universe taps you on the face, but people are so buried in their phones or their own problems, they don't see the world the way it should be. And
I'm handicapped on the right side with cerebral palsy, and when we met, I told him that right away. I said, I have CP on the right side. Mm-hmm. He goes, okay. So when we had our children, and the boys came out beautifully, I mean, they're normal, and everything was great, and he said to the kids, you go to your mom's right, you'll get a no. You go to your mom's left, you'll always get a yes. We got a yes for 49 years.
Oh,
Judy, what an incredible conversation. So great to hear from you.
This is the power of love.
Good care and have a good evening. When is that comedy show?
Tomorrow night. We're going to be in Aurora at the Comedy Shrine.
Okay. Because if it was 2 weeks from now, a friend of mine and I might have joined you guys. But have a good time tomorrow night, and hopefully the weather will be really good for you guys.
Oh, Judy, I look forward to hearing from you again. So wonderful. Thanks,
Judy. Thanks, Jude.
Thank you, too.
Okay, bye-bye.
Thank you so much. All right, thank you. And Mary Ellen, if you hold on through the news, we'll take your call right afterwards. I've got to go to a break here.
What a delightful woman.
That was incredible.
How sweet.
See, it's even better when you're in studio.
It really is. It's that's an uplifting phone call. I love that. That's wonderful.
We'll be right back after this. We are live in the Allstate Skyline Studios tomorrow night. Tonight, technically, but Thursday night at the Comedy Shrine, you can be present to have your reading done in person by Dr. Lars Dingman. He is the world-renowned iTunes psychic. You can follow him on Facebook and Twitter, iTunes Psychic. Go to his website, itunespsychic.com. In studio with us, we also have John Culver Esquire, attorney at law.
And I just have to point out that disco sucks, man.
No. Oh, Tom is angry with you behind the glass. You are so lucky that he is behind a barrier, because it seems like those are fighting words with him.
I have my dread card on me. Detroit rockers engage in the abolition of disco.
Oh, boy.
Take it everywhere.
And you're married to him, Dr. Tynes.
I stake no claim. All right, then.
She's the president of the Illinois Medical Society and also the assistant professor of medicine at Northwestern. You can follow her on Twitter at @ktynes and visit ismss.org for the work that the society does. Mary Ellen has been on hold for quite a while, so we appreciate your time. Mary Ellen, how are you doing?
I'm okay. I've never talked on the radio, so I'm a little nervous.
Oh, Mary Ellen.
You'll do fine, Mary Ellen.
It's so good to hear from you. Thank you for calling.
Well, you're welcome. I'm enjoying your program. I'm kind of interested. I've always been told that I have good insight and good intuition, although it hasn't worked real well for me. But, you know, the last song I heard, you wouldn't believe it was right on the radio, Night Fever, and I'm not a disco lover either.
What?
But I love that movie right, because when my son was that age, he looked like John Travolta.
Oh, my.
Handsome.
Wow.
Nice.
And if he's listening, he's going to be so embarrassed.
He's not a Scientologist, is he?
No. He's like a child psychologist, I can tell you that. He's a very good
father. Very different than a Scientologist.
Yes.
All right, so Night Fever, Mary Ellen, what are the other two songs that you most recently randomly heard?
All right. Now, you know, everybody else knew the artist and everything.
I just need the titles.
Okay. She's crazy, but her crazy is beautiful to me. I listen to a lot of country music now, and it goes, she dances, she takes risks, she wears her heart on her sleeve. Aww. She's crazy, but her crazy is beautiful to me.
Great. That could not be more country, that song.
Yeah, and then Reba McEntire, the Queen of Country, Fancy.
Fancy.
Hello?
Yes, Fancy, you said.
Now, do you know that song? It's very popular. Well, it's been popular for many years. She tells a story about a country girl. The father has run off. The baby's sick. The mother's sick, and she dresses this poor girl, 18 years old, in a red dress and sends her out in the world, and she, you know.
Yeah, what a nice mom. All right.
Well, you know what? I think that she felt bad for her mom.
Yeah.
She felt bad for her mom because in those days or that time or whatever, she would have died. You know, that was her only chance to get by at those days, I guess. I don't know. It's a sad song, but it's...
Well, let's see what it says about you, Mary Ellen. These are your three songs. Night Fever, She's Crazy, But Crazy is Beautiful to Me, and Fancy.
Yeah.
Are you currently in a relationship? I'm seeing no.
Oh, no. You wouldn't believe. I mean, if I'm still married April 24th of 2019, it will be 46 years.
Aww.
In 2015, I had to send my husband on his way. But, you know, I said to a group of ladies and gentlemen, too, I said, you know what? I really figured it out. I said, I loved him so much, I had to let him go. And he loved me so much, he left.
Hmm.
That sounds like a country song in and of itself.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? I've been right. I'm telling you, I've been married or living with parents all my life. I'm 70 years young. Mm. I'm going to be 71 March 2nd. And, you know, it's like, I've been on my own for almost 4 years.
That's what I'm seeing. I'm seeing that what these three songs are telling you is that you are ripe, you are prime to go out and have the word that keeps coming up for me is voracious. You want to live a voracious life. You've cast off this lummox that you were with and was not working for you, and now you're crazy, but you're crazy good. Right?
Mm-hmm.
You're a fancy broad, you enjoy the good things in life, and you got the Night Fever, which...
Yeah, well, I'm not fancy, but, you know,
Not frilly. I'm not saying frilly. You're fancy in that you enjoy the finer, nicer things in life, but that could be, you know, having an ice-cold beer in a bar with peanut shells on the floor. You're not hoity-toity.
I'm down to earth in... You know, I've economized all my life. You know, if tomato sauce is on sale, I'll buy a case of it because I use it. You know, I mean,
sure.
Go to Costco. It's the world's greatest store.
Yeah.
But now, so the third song that intrigues me here is the Night Fever, and that's a nice way of saying horny. Do you know what I'm saying, Mary Ellen?
Yeah, no, I don't.
Yeah, you do. No. Yeah, you do.
I don't know. You're describing me. I don't know. I don't think I'm that way.
Mary Ellen.
Yeah.
It's just us now. No one knows who you are or where you are. True or false, okay. That's what that song is talking about. You are ready to go out and have some fun. True or false?
Oh, definitely. I have to tell you, I'm not feeling sorry for my... I'm writing lyrics. I'm writing stories. I've never been used any of my creative abilities at all before now.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
And you know what? I'm enjoying life. I have not seen I don't have TV or internet for 2 years.
Well, that's probably why you're so happy.
I have the radio.
Because there's been some pretty big stuff going down the last 2 years. Yeah. You don't need to hear it. So I think this is about you getting back into the dating world and finding someone with whom you can share some night fevering, if you know what I'm saying. Right? You have children, right? You know what I'm talking about.
Oh, I've got three grown children and three grown really good children, good citizens, and three beautiful grandchildren.
All right, and you remember where they all came from. That's what we're talking about.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what I think the universe is telling you is you, first of all, you're a delightful woman. You're the good kind of crazy. You know, when guys...
Well, thank you.
Yeah, when guys are describing girls that they're dating, what they say is that, well, there's two ways to say it. Ugh. She's crazy, or she is crazy. And you're the second kind of crazy.
What's the second kind of crazy?
The good crazy.
Okay, yeah.
And right. It's time for you to share that with someone. I think we need to change your vibration a little bit. Who was your favorite musician? Singer.
That's hard to... Well, you know what? I like Styx. I live not too far from, they started out in Calumet City at a bowling alley. And you know what group I'm talking about?
Come Six? Sail Away.
Come Sail Away. Yeah, yeah.
Come
and
Sail
Lady,
Away.
Lady, I love that song. Well,
isn't that a Jerry Lewis song?
No, that one goes.
No, lady.
Let's do an exercise with you right now, okay?
I just told a group of my friends. I said, you know, and you got a lawyer there.
Yes, we do.
I like the lawyer. I trust him, but he doesn't get it. I told him today. I said, what do you mean? I said, I the divorce, that's nothing. I said, I need the half of the money.
Yeah, anyone can get divorced.
Oh, well, we have to send paperwork out. I said, what? If I didn't call...
Yeah.
This wouldn't have been done.
Here, Mary Ellen, Dr. Dingman might be able to help you a little bit with this, because he has ways of helping you adjust your vibrations with some exercises.
Oh, please.
We're going to do that right now. We're not going to focus on the money, because that'll take care of itself. Right now, we are talking about your sexual healing, your sexual blossoming. You're a young, almost 71, and it's time for mama to get nasty. So what I would like you to do...
married. I still honored it. You know, it's a real pride.
But he's not
thing,
there, right? You're separated.
Oh, No.
Okay.
No, I wouldn't be alive. Let's put it that way.
So let's think of it this way. Rather, if it's too hard to take it as the sexual energy, perhaps positive
positivity.
Energy.
Positivity, okay.
Well, do you see anybody in my future? Maybe I can handle this.
I'm trying to get to it, Mary Ellen. Yes, that's what I'm saying.
I'm on
the radio. If we were in person, I could be a lot more forthright and more earthy with you with my language, but we're on the radio, so I can't actually say what we're talking about, but you know what we're talking about.
Mary Ellen, can you come to the Comedy Shrine in Aurora so that Dr. Dingman could do a reading in person?
I wouldn't even know how to get there, honest to God. Okay.
All right, help her out. Help her out on the radio.
We're going to do an exercise right now with you, Mary Ellen, okay?
Okay.
All right, I need you to stand up.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, face the east, because that's where the sun starts every day, right? And I want you to do
this. That's my favorite place, the lake.
Yes, okay. I want you to do this every morning when the first thing you wake up, okay? And by doing this, what we're going to do is we are going to... You have this very high-pitched, delightful energy. We need to get you rooted. We need to get you in touch with the earthier elements of your personality, the sexual, the physical. You need to embellish and enjoy the physical joys of being alive, okay? So what I want you to do, are you familiar with a singer named Barry White?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
He's the buffalo of love.
He is the buffalo of
buffalo.
Love. And he had this very low, sexy voice, and he would say, baby, 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 baby. So what I need you to do is as low as in register as you could possibly do, I need you to look into the mirror and say those words over and over to yourself as sexually as you possibly can and as low as you possibly can. Let me hear it. One, two, three, go.
Say it again. What am I?
The word is baby, but you have to say it like it's naughty.
Okay. Baby.
Oh,
baby.
Yeah, keep going.
Lower.
Baby.
Baby.
Mm-hmm.
Naughtier.
Baby.
Naughtier.
Baby.
You got it. You're almost there.
You're there.
Mary Ellen. You're almost there.
You're so close.
I'm standing in front of the mirror. I mean,
yes.
Yes.
Well, you need to do, you need to get comfortable with the sexual component of your personality. And this is what we're doing. We are lowering your vibration so you can get in touch with that energy because it's very vital. You're a very vital person. And this is something. I mean, look at these songs. Look at these songs. She's crazy, but it's a good crazy. And night fever. You've got the night fever, and you need a doctor to take care of it, if you know what I'm saying metaphorically.
Yeah. I get you. But, you know, I got this thing where...
Jump in. Here's
no
the music.
No way in hell, after all these years, would all I put up with it, I'm not going to be loyal and devoted in that way
husband. I want you to be... I want you to be the skanky, filthy woman I want you to enjoy. Let me hear the baby again.
I'm going to tell you something. I would love to find a man after all these years that I could be that way with.
Mary Ellen, I'm trying to help you. Let me hear it. Come on. Let me hear the babies.
Baby.
Keep going.
Baby.
Yeah.
That is that is fantastic.
Happy Valentine's
Barry
Day.
Barry White's band
well,
is the Love
Valentine's
Unlimited Orchestra.
Day to you too. Do you see anybody in my future?
Yes, I do. I see a guy. He's got a red old truck. And I'm seeing him. He's a little younger than you, actually. And he works. He either works for the electrical. He either works for the state or he works for a utility. And you're going to go out and you're going to meet him at a. I'm seeing like a. Not a franchise place like an Applebee's or a Waffle House or something like that at nighttime at a musical thing. So if there's like a karaoke thing in your neighborhood or live music or a DJ or something where people of your age hang out and have fun, I keep hearing Rusty. I don't know if that means he's got red hair or the truck is rusty, but he'll be like, you ever see the brawny paper towels?
Well, let me ask you this. I have the only thing that sometimes keeps me going through the years is I'll think back. I got married very young, okay? I think back on one guy. He wasn't the greatest in the world, but I really did love him.
Uh-huh.
And I wonder, I don't know where he is, if he's alive, if he's dead. I don't know anything. But I keep on feeling this vibe, or I don't know what to call it.
Is his name Bill?
No. Mm-mm.
What's his name?
I don't want to say in case somebody hears it.
Just give me his first name.
Roger.
Okay.
Oh, that's like Rusty.
Is it all?
Oh. Yeah. Now, we're going back all the way till when Mary Ellen was 16 going on 17.
I love it when you talk in the third person. You know what? Go on Facebook. Go on Facebook and try and find him. And if he's not already in the dirt, I think you should find him.
I don't miss internet at all. I miss TV a little bit at Christmas time.
Go out. I'm seeing that there is someone in the wings, and they're waiting for you to step out, you know, to put your crazy on, to get your baby, baby, baby. So every morning when you wake up, I want you to do this exercise and get as sultry. And you're looking at yourself. You're looking at your eyes in the mirror. Get as sultry as you possibly can with yourself. Put yourself in that mood for the day, and that will carry you through the day. And put yourself out there. Get a girlfriend. Go out to hear some live music. If it's not tomorrow night, it should be this weekend.
Get it done, Mary Ellen.
Yeah, well, I was supposed to go see Cher Friday, but I missed out.
Well, there'll be tons of guys that'll be interested in you there. Yeah, that's a good move.
I love Cher. I love
that's
Cher.
That's great.
Yeah.
Mary Ellen, you got to check back
Hit
in with
Barry
us.
The Barry Manilow show, too.
Mary Ellen, you've got to do these exercises and check back in with us and let us know how it's going. So we'd love to hear from you. Thank you so much for calling. You were absolutely
Thank you, Mary
delightful.
Ellen.
Have a great rest of your week. More in a moment on 720 WGN. That was lovely.
Didn't have time for it. We didn't have time to talk about it. It did not make the show. It had to go. Maybe next time. I don't know. This is the end of the show. We gotta go. The end of the show.
One of the things that we didn't get a chance to, I have a whole stack of great stories that Tom Hush has pulled for us, and I might have to use these when you come back. I don't know. Some of these might hang out, be able to hang out till night. The one about the Scottish sleeping, I think, in Scotland, rough sleeping in Scotland, how they're trying to get some homeless people, I think would be a good conversation for next week. James Cameron slams Aquaman, a movie where sharks shoot friggin' lasers for its lack of realism. I don't know who he is to say.
I mean, the Terminator.
There you go. I'm saying. We'll get some of these we can save for next week. We didn't get the John Culver and some of the work that you do. And you are an attorney. You practice personal injury and malpractice law, which is weird that you're married to a doctor. Do you ever give her advice on how to stay out of trouble?
And it's actually kind of the opposite. It's exceedingly advantageous for me because she helps me screen my cases.
Oh, so I see.
If somebody comes in with an issue that potentially could be due to malpractice, she can look at it and say, this just happens.
Oh.
Or I'm not sure, or this is...
You have a built-in expert.
I have an in-house expert.
I'm still waiting for my fees.
I'm saying.
They are being paid.
That's the hardest thing, I think. that has to be the hardest thing when you have a patient who something goes sideways and hearing this is something that just happens. I remember, like, when Declan was born, like, I know that they panicked because Declan wasn't breathing. And I remember talking to a neurologist, and, you know, he said, you know, this is clearly something that happened. And now that I know more about the brain and the corpus callosum, I know that part of the brain forms in the first trimester. But, you know, I'm sure there are plenty of people when something goes sideways, they want to have someone to blame, and that's somewhat a human nature.
And you know, I'm an attorney and counselor, and I really enjoy the counseling part. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if I can pursue a matter, I will. But if I can't, I at least try to give people as much peace of mind as I can give them, even though it may not be it may be a disappointing result for them. But to try to explain to them, this is what occurred. It's nobody's fault.
Right.
It's certainly not yours, but it's not the physician's either. Or this is...
Right.
Oftentimes you run into what are known as known complications. Like, these things can occur. There can be a potential issue if nobody told them that.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't have informed consent before they underwent a procedure or something like that. But the case is typically either terrible damages, but no malpractice, or maybe a clear mistake, but no damages. It's like, you know, it's like the Monty Python thing. She turned me into a newt, but I got better. It's like, well, what am I supposed to do about that?
Now, can Dr. Dingman ever be held liable for giving a reading that somebody doesn't like? Is that something that can be subject to malpractice?
Good question.
I would suggest that there's not a physician-patient relationship being created necessarily.
No, and this is not me. I'm merely interpreting what the universe is trying to communicate with people. I'm like the universe whisperer, John. Am I fallible? Sure. What I do is I see pictures in my head, and sometimes I interpret them incorrectly. But the last one, that was a bullseye. That's what she needs.
I don't know that there's a cause of action for mischanneling necessarily. So.
It's a load off my mind.
Or your other option is to just sue the universe, you know.
Right.
That's
deep pockets.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, right. Limitless.
Yep. Well, there you go. That's good. These are good things to know. Well, we're going to, I promise we'll get to more topics with you next time. It's such a rare occasion that Dr. Dingman is in studio with us and the listeners.
I'm afraid to admit that he's probably more entertaining.
Well, it's all part of the big, you know, sort of the way we do the show is it's a little bit of everything.
It's so. Like a circus here every day.
And the psychic circus tonight, or if you think of it as Thursday night, we're going to be at the Comedy Shrine in Aurora. You can go to comedyshrine.com. It's a dinner and psychic readings and some comedy and some champagne.
You'll it's going to be
out,
fun.
Hang out with me, Dr. Dingman, David Vox Mullen. We'll all be at the Comedy Shrine in Aurora. More in a moment. We'll turn it over to Nick D in just a second.